So you want to, what? So really quick, Kelly's story about kicks. You guys got the.
Oh, we always had Cheerios. That was the only cereal Mom ever bought. And every once in a while, she'd be like, "You guys can pick out like a fun cereal." So it was my sister's turn to pick them out, and Kix had this commercial that was like, what was it?
Kid tested mother.
I think
they got rid of.
So she was like, "Guess what? We got to pick out a fun cereal." I'm like, "Oh, what'd you get?" I'm thinking like Lucky Charms, Apple Jacks, like, you know, like all these like fun, good stuff, you know, Crunch Berry. She was like, "Kix." Oh, okay. Well, I've never had that. It was literally like eating cardboard. I was like, "This is the worst."
You put chocolate sauce on yours, so it's not cardboard anymore.
There you
like,
go.
This is like the worst cereal ever. So you're like, a wasted opportunity to get a fun cereal. Yeah, like, you know.
All right, so. When we have each other over at some point in time where you're looking to, you know, just snack with a friend, you can keep in mind a box of cereal is always appropriate. So there, and chocolate sauce, apparently. All right, so Andrew, just keep him in prayer. His daughter, Brooklyn, is having some health issues that popped up about a week ago, and so she's receiving treatment at UVA. But she's had kidney stones, which is kind of young unusual in a younger person. So, but they are painful, and they, you know, a lot of times with age, they're just part of aging. But with a younger person, it could be a sign of something else that needs to be studied. So, just keep Andrew and his family and Brooklyn in prayer. So, any other prayer requests as folks are moving around?
So I gotta get a root canal done. We cannot find a dentist that works with our insurance anywhere in the area.
Okay.
And it's really bad.
Okay.
So, and this is my first cavity, and of course it's a root canal.
Sure.
I'm anxious about that.
So, you know, are you hurting, or is it just more like the anticipation of what it could be like?
It is pain. And I also gotta get my wisdom teeth removed as well, because that's giving me really bad jaw pain.
Okay.
So I've got to get both of those things done. My wisdom teeth haven't gone erupted yet, but they were going to come in really weird.
Got it. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry, Jordan.
After 6 years of my dad not being able to find a job, he finally was able to find a job.
Good.
He's an engineer, and he's like, you know, got a lot of experience, so it was hard for people to be able to like afford him. So that's just a praise, but then also prayer that he has a lot of energy and is like transitions back into working really well.
Sure. Now, are they local here? Or
they live in Minnesota.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So transitioning back to work, and then health issues, health concerns. All right. I'll open this up for prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for the day and the opportunity to gather. And Lord, as we're kind of learning about membership and learning about the benefits of gathering together and being part of a local church, one of the things we get to do is just encourage one another, pray for one another. Lord, we just pray for Brooklyn Shields that you'll allow these kidney stones to just miraculously dissolve and or be treated easily and treated quickly and allow her to just have comfort and not relapse. And Lord, pray for Charity that she's going through some mouth pains, that you will give her family the opportunity to find someone to give service that is as close as you can get them, and just allow her to be in minimal pain. And Lord, help us to just remember to lift her and Brooklyn up in prayer. And Lord, pray for Jordan's pop, that as he's getting to return to the workplace, that you will create opportunities for him to show his value as an employee and his years of experience put to use for this company. And Lord, just allow him to transition well and make relationships within the workplace that will be able to keep him encouraged and to glorify you. And again, Lord, we just pray your blessing on this time as we look at the next vow and we focus on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And we thank you for this. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. So, we are on to the next piece of confirmation. Okay. Liam, I'm totally in your way, aren't I? For you and Josh. Can you see the computer screen behind me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm in your way then. Can you see okay?
I can see this happening.
You can see that happening. All right. There is no good setup for this room. All right. We need an engineer. This is where you say he's not that type of engineer. Right?
You can scoot to the, like, by the window, though.
But there's a draft. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I can go that route.
I'm that kind of.
Any better? Any better? All right.
Sorry,
I think there was like a.
I was like, why is there a random blanket on the floor?
No. Coats are blankets, just with holes in them, in the right spots. All right, so just a review, okay? First and foremost, the church asks you these vows in an effort for you to publicly confess agreement. So the first thing they're going to ask you is, do you acknowledge yourselves to be sinners in the sight of God and without hope for your salvation except in his sovereign mercy? And our hope is that people will say, I do, okay? Then vow B, they will ask, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of sinners? And do you receive and depend on him alone for your salvation as he is offered in the gospel? Okay. And just in what I try to encourage folks is that the gospel boils down to this simple phrase, Christ died for sinners. Full stop. Now, we can unpack each one of those terms bigger. There's plenty of meat on that bone. But that is the gospel, okay? Christ died for sinners, okay? And vow C, do you now promise and resolve in humble reliance upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that you will endeavor to live as becomes the followers of Christ, okay? So this is the vow, the third vow. You will be asked. And so first, are you a Christian? Second, do you depend on Christ alone for your salvation? And then the third vow is, do you recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Okay. So, what must we rely on to live as a follower of Christ? Well, in John 14, 15 through 16, Hawk, do you mind reading for us?
Yes, sir. If you love me, you will keep me in my
I went across your face. Sorry, bud.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you.
Okay. So, who do you think's being referenced here? Which member of the Godhead?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, okay? Do you remember when we covered weeks one and then into two a little bit, the essentials of the faith? We believe in a triune God. We believe that God is Trinity, okay? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Unfortunately, a lot of times we are very familiar and very comfortable talking about God the Father and then God the Son. And sometimes we shy away, just for the unfamiliarity, of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like God the Father, God the Son, and a friendly ghost. No, this is God. Okay? And so here he's referenced as another helper to be with you forever. He's called the Spirit of Truth. But then there's this division. Okay? It says the world cannot receive him. They can't see him. Okay? They don't know him. But you know him, and how do we know him? Going back to vow A. Except in his
sovereign
mercy. Okay? We receive the gift of salvation, okay? Because it is pricked upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, where does the help come from? Well, the help comes from
the Lord.
Okay? So he's asking his Father, right, to send a helper. And this is actually, in other versions of Scripture, it's referred to as a comforter. Okay? Okay, and how long will we have the help? To be with you
forever.
Charity, no expiration date. Okay? He's not going to ask that you be sent a helper just when times are tough, or a comforter when you're sad. Okay? This work of the Holy Spirit is for the believer, it's in the believer, and it's forever. Okay? So going into John, Luke's next. All right. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So these teaching, Christ is on his earthly ministry for about 3 years. He's teaching the crowds. He's teaching his disciples. And they're wondering, as Christians do, how am I going to remember all this stuff? And what does Christ tell them? How are they going to remember it? What's one of the works of the Holy Spirit here?
He will bring it to your remembrance.
Yep. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay? So, what is one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit according to this verse? So, part of being taught is recognizing we don't know it all, okay? So, being teachable, okay? And not just, oh, I learned that. He's going to help us to remember it, okay? All right. Carrie, do you mind reading this one? John 14, 27?
Yes. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid.
Okay, so we know that Christ in a number of these verses, he's asking the Father to send the Holy Spirit, asking the Father to send a comforter, a helper, and here he's referred to as what's being left with you?
Peace.
And it's not the peace that the world talks about, okay? Because quite often what the world talks about as peace is, I get my way and you leave me alone, okay? On this rock, we have a very thwarted idea of many, many, many gifts that the Lord has actually given us. And we have a very weird idea of what peace is. A lot of times we think of peace as just, we don't hear the arguing, or things are quiet, right? But here it tells us that not as the world gives do I give to you. Okay, he's talking about it on a heart level. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Could you imagine a life where troubles were not just minimized, but gone? Where fear is removed. Okay? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. As we look to the cross, we look to God and his gift of his Son and the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is the life of the believer. Okay? All right, so what is it that Christ wants us to have from this helper?
Peace.
One single word. Okay? Peace. He wants us to have it. All right. So just... I don't think you were. Book of James, okay? Just another plug for the Book of James is a fantastic resource upon Christian living. Okay, we did the Book of James this past summer. And do you remember the small groups we did? We did like 4 weeks and then we did another 4 weeks. You guys switched classes throughout the summer. Okay, James, brief book, great. Just to continue to go back to in the life of a believer. Okay, so vow C. We're asking you to rely upon the Holy Spirit for the life of Christian living. Okay? All right. So, we're on to something we need you guys to do as part of the confirmation class. Your written testimony. Okay? We have... You do not have to write a paper. these are simply prompts. If you could pick one, maybe two questions of what you want to kind of start writing about, I do encourage jotting down your testimony, even if it's bullet points, but I do on a note card or on, if you want to type out everything, that's fine, okay? But whatever helps you stay on track to share what it is the Lord's done in your life, okay? You're going to get to give your testimony once amongst each other, okay? And then another time, they're going to have, for the second time, you're going to give it to the session, okay? So now, Lindsay, you do not have to answer all the questions, okay? Just pick one or two, Hawk, okay? And kind of use this as like a prompt to kind of flesh out, okay? All right. Jordan, you're welcome to take one. I don't know if you just so you can even see what they're going to be writing about. You can get one, Leah. Good, good. All right. So, in asking you guys to share your testimonies, I think it's a great opportunity for us as adults and Sunday school teachers to get to share with you guys kind of our testimonies, okay? So I asked Carrie to go first, and so she's going to share her testimony, and you can either just press the space bar here, and we'll let you go.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for letting me share my testimony.
You want that one or you want this one?
No, I'll just sit right here.
Oh, okay, then I'll just sit right here.
So mine's not written out like you guys are being encouraged.
She did not do her homework.
I'm a lot older than you are, so I'm probably
giving
mine. Oh,
so she thinks because she's older.
I'm probably giving mine enough, but I'm, you know, pretty much have it fleshed out already. I grew up in Florida. I grew up in a wonderful home with good, godly Christian parents. We grew up Baptist, and so it was my mom and dad, and then I have a sister. And so they were parents who were faithful to take us to church. We went to church Sunday morning. We went again in the afternoon. We went on Wednesday nights. You know, if a nearby sister church was having a Saturday revival, we were probably there. So I grew up hearing lots of preaching and, you know, lots of preaching from lots of different pastors. And I attended Christian school as well. So I heard a lot of preaching through my school, you know, which was, you know, would be kind of more of like a, maybe like a community church type, non-denominational, I guess, style Christian school. So they brought in all different types of pastors and, you know, your teachers were professing Christians, and so, you know, certainly you grew up, like, in that setting, you know, praying and things like that. So very much surrounded by hearing the gospel constantly and being very aware from a young age that, like, you know, you're being told that you're a sinner, and so you're kind of aware that that is true. And I think very much aware of, like, what is supposed to be said about how to get saved. I could have communicated that from probably a pretty young age. And yet I did not feel saved for whatever reason. And so when I wasn't super concerned about it at certain times in my life, and then other times it would burden me. I'd feel burdened, but like, I'm not saved. And so I would talk to my parents, and my parents would pray with me and encourage me and point me to different, you know, Bible verses, and there would be, like, I think sometimes fear of hell, you know, like going to hell, that kind of thing, and then it would subside, and now I'm fine, and I'm not worried about it anymore. And then, you know, when I was in first grade, we went to a school chapel service, and you were given the opportunity to, you know, basically the preacher at the end of the service is asking, like, if you don't know the Lord and want to get saved, then raise your hand. And so, and I raised my hand. And so anyways, I'm directed to go off and pray with a teacher. So it was like, I was so excited, like,
and the teacher was very kind and sweet and prayed with me, and it felt so good. And I remember literally praying with her, and then it was recess, and I got to go to recess and feeling like so great, you know. And then I went home and I told my mom, and I was really excited to tell my mom, and my mom was like, oh, that's great, and like, we'll make sure you tell Dad when he gets home. And I didn't tell my dad, you know, because it was kind of like, I don't know, like, and so all of a sudden this great feeling of like, then became like, I don't know. So I was constantly throughout elementary school and middle school too, just kind of felt like, I guess salvation is like a feeling, people must feel a certain way. I feel like I know I'm a sinner. I think I believe in Jesus, but for some reason I'm not saved. And so I just felt like there must be something else to it, you know. And so, you know, you kind of like getting into high school and just kind of at a loss for what is it that some people have that I'm lacking. And so I got the opportunity to go on a trip to Europe in high school, and we were visiting my grandparents in Ohio, and my grandfather, the last time he had been there was World War II, so I don't know if it was that, it was a, like, you know, if he had a fear of me traveling to Europe or what, you know, but anyways, he felt burdened to, like, I need to talk to you, and I know that you've heard the gospel, but I need to know that I've personally shared the gospel with you myself, which was really weird because my grandpa was like super jovial. He was a Christian, but he wasn't somebody who like talked a lot about the things of the Lord. So it was kind of like, wow, like, okay, him being really serious. And so I basically just told him everything that I just told you guys, which was like, I know how to get saved. And I've prayed, and I've done all the things. I've walked the aisle. I've done all of it. But, like, it's, I don't know. Like, I don't think I'm saved. And I said to him, I guess I don't believe enough. And so he shared several verses with me and, you know, shared his own testimony and basically just encouraged me that, like, it's not about believing enough. When you're thinking that way, you're looking at yourself. You're looking internally. And what you're called to do is to look to him and to rest in that he did it all. It is finished. Like, that's the resting place for our souls. And so when he shared that, it was like it finally made sense in my mind in a way that it wasn't about believing enough. It wasn't about a feeling. It was about resting in what Christ had done. And so I did know I was a sinner. I did confess my sin. But it was also like coming to that point and just resting that Jesus has done all the work. And, like that felt good. Like, you know, it finally clicked in my mind. And so I realized then that where I had been spinning my wheels was worrying about what I needed to do and that there must be more to this, you know, and I haven't done enough. And so I, you know, think of that point in time as the time where I, you know, became saved. And certainly along my life as an adult, there's been growth and there's been, you know, maybe an expanded understanding of my salvation. But I feel like, you know, that evening with my grandfather in high school was when I really just was able to just rest in, you know, that what Jesus did, that he died on the cross and that he paid for the sins and that, you know, he has paid for it. So I always like this picture I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with the story of Pilgrim's Progress, but I'm like, this picture, I feel like, embodies my salvation story. And so in the book of Pilgrim's Progress, there is a young man named Christian, and he takes a journey, and he has this huge burden of sin, and he lives in the city of destruction. And so he's trying to escape, and he's trying to, you know, acquire salvation and make his way, journey to the celestial city, which represents heaven. And so, and then later in the second part of the book, his wife, Christiana, she, you know, also has her own journey. And so, but in this picture, we have two people. And so there's a man on the floor, and he's raking, and he's in a stall. So a muckraker would be like somebody in a stall cleaning up the muck, you know, animal muck. So poop and, you know, dirty hay, you know, dirt, dust, you know. And so, and the man who is next to him is holding this crown of life. And so here's this man who is in search, you know. And so this is a scene that when Christian and Christiana, when they get to the house of the interpreter, they show different scenes that reveal spiritual truths. And so they come to this scene, and so he's explaining that this man is searching for something, you know, important and eternal. And yet he's so busy looking downward, and he's so busy digging in the muck. And here, literally right above his head, is the thing that he's looking for. And yet, because his eyes are so fixed on, you know, the muck kind of represents the world and the sin and the, you know, he is missing out on looking up and seeing the crown that we have through Christ and the eternal life that is given. And so I felt like that when I saw that illustration, when I was reading that book, I was like, oh my gosh, this is literally like someone's illustrated my journey in a way, because that's what I was doing all this time before. I knew certain things, I knew certain truths, and yet I kept being focused on my own sin. I kept being focused on the formula of, like, what am I supposed to do? And I wasn't looking up to what Christ has already done, because that's where the crown was. That's where everlasting life was. That was the way to heaven and to salvation. And so I always love that picture, because I think, you know, sometimes that is where we are. So thank you for letting me share my testimony. I would encourage all of you that if you don't know the Lord yet, or if you're in a similar spot that I was in, where, like, I know academically the things that I'm supposed to do, but I don't feel like it's personal, my encouragement to you would be to just continue to look up to Christ and to look at what Christ did and rest there. Don't be consumed with not believing enough. Don't be consumed with, you know, feeling bad that maybe you have doubts or concerns. If you have any concern for your soul at all, it's because the Holy Spirit is already working in you. And so that is exciting and wonderful, that God's already working in my heart, because I even care or even have a concern. You know, when we're dead in our sins, we don't even care about it. We're not even worried about it. So if we have any concern for our eternal soul, it's because the Holy Spirit's at work. And so look up. So thank you, guys.
All right. Carrie, do you mind closing us in prayer really quick?
Yeah.
And we'll dismiss. We'll meet up again next week.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you so much for the salvation that you so freely give. And we thank you, dear Lord, that your yoke is, I might be quoting the verse wrong, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Is that the right verse? Yes. Okay. And that, you know, often with salvation, we make it difficult because we want to insert our own efforts into it. And that is not what we're told to do. And so
you know, we are to believe and then rest and that you have done all the rest of the work. And so that is so counterintuitive to the world that we're in, where we're told, do this, do that. And we watch people in other false religions or in non-religions at all, where they're working so hard to try to earn their way to heaven, to try to be good people. And we know that, you know, that is a dead end. And so, dear Lord, I pray that each person in this room today, that they would know that they're a sinner, but that they would rejoice in knowing that Jesus died on the cross and paid for every single sin. And that is all we have to do, is rest in what he has already done. Thank you, dear Lord, that your salvation is for whosoever will believe, and that it's for all who will believe. And so we thank you, dear Lord, that that invitation is given to everyone. And so we pray, dear Lord, that you would give us hearts to believe. And dear Lord, for those of us who do believe, dear Lord, help us to grow in knowledge about you. Help us, dear Lord, as we come to church and we come to our own personal study, to continue to uncover the truths of your word, so that we might know how to live, and then also know how to share it with others, so that the people in our circle, the people we go to school with, our neighbors, our family members, that they too might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so, Lord, we ask all these things in your holy and precious name. We pray, dear Lord, that you would be with those this week who are hurting. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with those that are not here this morning. Pray that you would watch over them. And we pray, dear Lord, that you would just help us go into this week and shine bright for your honor and your glory. Amen.
Amen. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Still working on it.
I thought I heard it say Levi.
I'm sorry. Hey, Joshua.
Yeah.
So, if were you able to access this page?
Yep.
All right. Is that? I don't know. You don't have to do anything with it. It just helps keep me organized here.
Yeah.
So, with Carrie today, I think Andrew is going to go the 5th, because I know that I'm going to be. There's like 90% chance I'm not going to be here that day.
Good.
Okay. So, do you have which I forgot to talk about Q&A. Do you have a preference? Do you want to go, do you want to go next week? Do you want to go the February 12th? Which would you like?
I can do next week. I can do the 29th.
All right. And let's have you,
Hey, girl. You snuck out. I didn't even hear you. All of a sudden, I smell a bagel.
All right. You're on it.
All right. Awesome.
Like a hobo on a ham sandwich. Hey,
exactly.
Thank you, Joshua, for doing
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Happy to.
So, all right. Any questions so far of how we're doing it? Or
no, it's been great. I love the PowerPoints. And
that's the science teacher.
Yeah, it's just good to be part of this. It's been a long time since I got confirmed.
Yeah.
And I definitely, as I'll, you know, talk about in my testimony, was completely checked out at that time in every possible way.
Yeah.
And didn't hide it at all. So, I really missed out on that entire process. And, you know, things changed in my heart later.
Yeah.
So
sure.
It's weird to be in a very different position in the class now.
Sure.
Weird in the best way.
In the best way,
sure.
Yeah.
And Jordan, glad to have you around too, and, you know, hit us with, you know, questions, and, you know, it's, we enjoy having you around.
Well, do we have a week if Jordan would be willing to share her testimony?
We could, if Andrew ends up going short, I mean,
I can do it
if she's well
at the drop of a hat. Like,
okay.
Not that I'm like trying to be like, oh,
no,
I'm
that's fine.
Just like if there's like a week where there's extra time,
okay.
Just say the word.
Okay. We'll go that route.
That would be great. Yeah, I think it is nice sometimes to hear, because everyone's story is so different, and so even if